Hello, this is Kyle Gregor here with another Newsmakers podcast. We're on the road again in St. Louis visiting Butch Welsh of Welsh Heating & Cooling. The company is celebrating anniversary number 115 this year. What else was happening when Welsh family opened for business in 1895? Well, Grover Cleveland was president, a loaf of bread cost 3 cents, and Brett Favre had just started to contemplate retirement. So please settle in and hear Butch discuss the family business, the economy, and the licensing of an HVAC contractor. Enjoy, and I'll see you on the other side. Okay, we're here with Butch Welsh of Welsh Heating and Cooling. Thanks a lot for taking the time out today, Butch.
My pleasure. Good to see you.
115 years anniversary. Can you tell us a story about Welsh Heating and Cooling? How was it founded and how did you become a part of it?
Sure. My dad's grandfather started the company back in 1895. We've only been in two locations. In that location, they were about probably a two-day horseback ride from downtown St. Louis. And it was basically a general store. They had virtually everything, and included were some pot-bellied stoves and that sort of thing. And it was from that they kind of transferred into the heating business. First coal furnaces, and then conversion burners from the coal. And then my dad took over in 1929, which, as you recall, was the start of the Depression. And his dad died in July, and he quit high school and took over right then, and managed to get the company through all that time. And then I went to Washington University here in St. Louis in mechanical engineering. When I got out of school, got married, went on honeymoon, came back, and I've been working full-time time ever since. Gradually took over more responsibility and more work, and my dad got involved in some other things. And so back in the early 80s, I took over as president, and I've been the president ever since. And our business has changed focus somewhat through the years. We were mainly furnaces and air conditioners in new construction in the late 40s and 50s. Then as air conditioning really came in, we were in the add-on air conditioning business, which was back in the late 50s and through the 60s and early 70s. By then, just about everybody had added air conditioning that could afford it and wanted it. Then we pretty much got back in the new construction business almost entirely. Didn't have much of a service department, didn't have much of a replacement department. Then in about 1988-89, I saw another downturn coming in the new construction market, which I didn't want to go through. I'd been through those, don't like to see them. Wanted to find out some way to kind of even things out. At about that same time, I saw that the number of air conditioners being shipped to replacement for replacement purposes exceeded the number going to new construction. That made me think that was a pretty good size market and worth getting into. So we hired a person to really get us into that business. We went from three service guys in 1989 with no maintenance agreements. Within 15 years, we had 20 service guys and 5,000 maintenance agreements. And we've transformed the company into about a 50-50 mix between replacement service and then new construction.
Okay. What would you say is the key to a successful HVAC business? If you had to put your finger on maybe one or two things, what would you say?
I think the biggest thing is putting the customer first. We've never looked at a short range anything as far as the way we treated a customer or the way we treated a particular incident. We always look at it as, you know, what do we need to do to keep the customer as a customer? One of the selling features I use in new construction is the fact that a home builder can be sure that we're going to do a good job because we want that customer to be our customer after the job is sold and for 2, 4, 5, 10, 15 years from now. And so we're going to do whatever it takes to keep that person happy. It's not a matter that we're doing the new construction job, we get out, the warranty's done, and you never hear of us again. We want that person to be our customer. So we're going to treat them in a manner they want to be treated. I think people, you know, it's funny, as much technology as we have today and everything, I think people still like doing business with people. When you call our company 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, you're answered by a live person. Can't get a menu because we don't have any. You're always going to get a live person that you can talk to. And I think people really like that, especially in today's world, because more and more places, I don't care how big they are or how small they are going to electronic answering and things like that. And it may be nice for the company, it may save them a few bucks, but I think in the long run it hurts them.
That's an interesting point. Obviously, 115 years you guys have seen a lot of highs and lows. We're joking before we started taping that we heard this week the recession has been over since July or something of 2009. We're just wondering how your company handled the recession and what the outlook is. How would you combat that, I guess?
Okay, well, this one has been by far the worst that we've seen. Like I said, we saw about every 7 years was the typical span between high points and low points. In 1998, which was about 7 years after the previous low spell, I started telling our people, hey, we've got to be prepared for the downturn. 99, I said, we got to be prepared for the 2000, I started to say it, and then I didn't bother to say it because they weren't paying any attention to me because it kept going on, and it kept going on through 2004 and 2005 even. And so nobody, they weren't believing me, and I was wondering myself if it was going to last forever. Well, I guess because the boom was so long in booming that now the low is a lot lower going forward. And in fact, you know, just to give you an idea on the permits, in the St. Louis area, we got over 13,000 permits in 2005. We're down to around 3,000 in 2009. Probably have about the same, maybe a few more now. All of the people that I can talk to are predicting that maybe by 2014, which is 3 or 4 years from now, we may get back up to 7,000, which compared to where we are now will seem like a windfall. Compared to 2005, it's only about half of where we are. So I don't think we're going to, number one, I don't think we're going to see in the near future at all, the near many years, are we going to see anything like we experienced before. And I think we're going to see just a very slow, gradual turn. I think we're going to see changes. I think people are going to want smaller houses, more efficient homes. I think it's going to be a little different market than what we've ever experienced before. And from a company standpoint, I think you've got to be flexible enough to see what's going on and be able to adapt to what it is that your customers want. Again, I come back to the fact that our job is to give the customer what they want and what they need, and to listen to them and be able to satisfy their needs, not to me go out and find a product and then try to sell it to them. I don't believe in that.
In this economy, how do you combat some of the people out there that are low-cutting everyone and just even maybe taking losses on jobs just to get their people out of the office?
Well, obviously it's a problem. It's always been a problem for us. We're a union contractor. We're not typically going to be the lowest on a job. I traditionally don't want us to be the lowest on the job. And frankly, if we're bidding a job that there's several bidders on it, there's more than maybe four bidders on a job. Frankly, I really don't want to bid it. I don't want it. Because in our business, if there's more than four guys bidding it, somebody's going to make a mistake, and I don't want it to be us. Mm-hmm. And somebody's going to miss. So we've always had it. There've always been the low guys. All we can do is try to sell the customer on the fact that we are going to be around. We're going to be around. We've been around 115 years. Our goal is to be around at least another 115 years. So when they have a problem, because with mechanical equipment, they are going to have a problem at some time. We're going to be around here to take care of them. We're going to be here if there's a problem right away. We're going to be here if there's a problem in 2 or 3 years. We're here to back up everything that we install. We don't want complaints. We want to do everything we can to keep them happy. We have to sell them on that and not the fact that we're just here to make a quick sale on them and make a few bucks and then really not care whether it really does the job for them. We want to take care of them properly.
And the tax cuts, I wanted to ask you about that. How have they impacted business, the $1,500 that people are getting back, and how imperative is it for Congress to step up and do it again?
It would be very, very helpful. The $1,500 tax credit has been a big help. Quite frankly, we're using it now almost reluctantly. We're using it, the fact that it's going to expire, we're using that to encourage people to do something now in case it does expire. It's been especially helpful on geothermal where there's no limit on it. It's a 30% tax credit. We have people that are putting in geothermal, and the additional cost for the geothermal is virtually being paid by the tax credit or nearly. So it's been very advantageous to us. It coupled with manufacturers' rebates, the manufacturers are hurting like we have. That difference in 13,000 and 3,000 permits, that was 10,000 units that weren't built, probably represents something in the neighborhood of 15,000 air conditioning units and furnaces that weren't installed. And so that's a big deal for them. So they're doing rebates. We have a rebate now because it's our 115th anniversary. So we're trying, and now the electric company in town is just in the process. We just got certified last week that they're going to give a pretty good size rebate for anybody that has an 8 SEER air conditioning unit. Now, it's interesting. It's an interesting rebate. It only applies if they have an 8 SEER operating air conditioning unit. Can't be dead, can't have a bad compressor. It's got to be operating as an 8 SEER unit. If they have an operating 8 SEER unit, they'll get a rebate of either $650 or $850 to replace that with a 15 or 16 SEER new air conditioning unit. We look for that to have some impact as well. Although, like I said, we just got certified for it last week.
Okay. And you're also talking, before we start recording, about you're playing a role in licensing here in the St. Louis area in a different kind of project. Can you share that with our listeners?
Sure. We have licensing in St. Louis County. We got it back in 2000. It at that time was for commercial workers on HVAC, sheet metal, pipe fitting. And basically, it encompassed any work over 25 tons and larger. So it was basically the big commercial work that was licensed. We just had the county council pass in July a new residential licensing ordinance, and we're just in the process of implementing it. I happen to serve as chairman of the St. Louis County Mechanical Licensing Board. We're in the process of putting all the applications and paperwork together to make it happen. The idea is going to be, and there will be a grandfathering period of 60 days from November 1st to the end of December, when somebody who's been working in the field can prove that they have 7,500 hours of experience in the business, they'll be able to get a license without having to test. After December 31st, they'll still need the 7,500 hours, but they'll also have to take a test. Our whole idea in this is that because of the recession, because of people being laid off from various jobs, our business, quite frankly, to some extent is an easy business to get into. Guy buys a magnetic sign and puts it on his car or his pickup truck, and he's a heating and air conditioning contractor. And what we're trying to do is at least make sure that these people have a certain amount of experience level in order to be able to go in and work on somebody's furnace where you've got carbon monoxide, you've got dangerous things that are there that can cause a real hazard. And that's really what we're trying to eliminate through the licensing law.
Okay. And final question, why don't you tell us what you think is the best part of being in the HVAC industry?
For me, I think the best part is the fact that it's so varied, the fact that there's so many different things about it. And in conjunction with that is the fact that people are always going to need heating and air conditioning. I feel comfortable when I go to bed at night knowing that that there is going to be a need for our services tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. There's an awful lot of businesses that, you know, you can't say that about today. Businesses that just came into being 15, 20 years ago are about to become extinct. I'm happy that our business is not like that. It has a long future, and I think that's good for us and our family.
Great. Well, thanks for taking the time today. Appreciate you inviting us to your office out here in St. Louis, and congratulations on 115 years. Very impressive.
Thanks, Kyle. Thanks for coming.
Thanks. Thanks to Butch Welch for taking the time today, and thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you have any comments or suggestions for the podcast, please visit www.achrnews.com/podcast. And be sure to check out our news update podcast for the latest happenings in the industry. Good times, everybody.